B'siyata deshmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to start five lines from the top of the Omud, and we're continuing the theme of the Mishnah, and that is the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Omud Aleph said that one should not use bundles of schach. The Mishnah was talking about chavilei kash, chavilei eitzim, chavilei zrodim, woods, straw, soft reeds. One shouldn't use them for schach in their bundle form, and we've discussed in the Gemara exactly why. Says the Gemara, Omer of Gidl Omer Rav, Hai afkusa de dikla, the offsprouts of the date palm, and that's off the date palm, there are these, they're coming from a single point, they grow, something just sprouts out, and there's lots of different offsprouts, they're all bound by nature, that means they grow that way from one point. Then mesachachin bohu, you're allowed to use that for schach. Afagav da agidi, even though the parts of these offsprouts which are spread out, not the part where they're connected, even though over there you connected them all together, you bound them, that's not called a bundle. Why? Because eged bidei shemayim lo shmei eged. Since all the parts of this bundle are connected by shemayim, by Hashem, by laws of nature, we should call it. Therefore, it's not considered igud, it's not considered bound, it's not considered a bundle, and therefore one's allowed to use them for schach. Afal gav deha de'ogid lehu, even if afterwards you're going to bind the looser parts, igud bechad lo yishmei eged. Since they're all connected, because that's the way they grow, it's all one. And when you bind things which are all one, it's not considered a binding. What's considered a binding is when you have loose things, one thing is totally separate from the other, and you bind them together, that's called an eged. But when you have something that's bound by nature, even though the parts of it that have spread out, you bind them together, that's not called an igud, it's not called bound, and therefore there's no issue of, it's not considered a bundle regarding schach. Similarly, Omer of Chizda, Omer of Vina Barashila, Hani Dukra, Dekoni, the stalks of cane, which is exactly the same idea, that they start off, they grow from one point, and then these stalks, they become separated. Mesachin behu, you're allowed to use it as schach. Afal gavda agidininu, even though they are connected because they grow from one point. Eged bidei shemayim lo yishmei eged, as we said before, that the virtue of the fact that they are bound together by nature, that does not make an eged. That's called igud bidei shemayim lo yishmei eged. Afal gav deha de'ogid lehu, and even like we said before, that if you take something which is intrinsically one because it's been bound by heaven, by shemayim, and then you can you bind the looser parts of it, then igud b'chad lo yishmei eged, then doing a binding on something that's intrinsically considered one is not considered an eged, and you can use it for schach. Tani nami hochi, we saw a brisa to this effect, konim, stalks, v'doikronim, and poles, mesachin b'hen, you're allowed to use them for schach. Konim pshita, what's the brisa coming to tell us that you can use stalks for schach? Of course you can use stalks for schach. Eima, what does it mean? Konim shel dakronim, mesachin b'hu, if it stalks that sprout out from doikronim, and which what the Gemara means is that if you've got from that something sprouts out from a single point, but they grew from one point, then they are bound by shemayim, by nature, and therefore one's allowed to use them for schach. And the way to read the brisa is not konim stalks v'doikronim and poles. No, stalks that are similar to doikronim, to poles. They are all similar to poles, they're all protruding, and they all come from one point, you're allowed to use them for schach. Continues the Gemara of Omer of Chizda, Omer of Inna, Barashila. Another quote from the same person, Hani Mororisa de Agma. We know that, it says in the Torah, you have to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and moror. On Leil Seder, we eat moror. Exactly what is considered moror is a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim that we've learned. So Rav Chizda said in the name of Rav Inna Bar Ashila that the Mararisa, the moror that's called Mararisa de Agma, the lettuce, the moror, this is lettuce that grows in the marsh, you're allowed to use it on Pesach. The question is this regular moror or is this moror of a marsh? And it's not what the Torah calls moror. Meisvei, The Gemara is going to discuss that. We learned in a Braisa, in a Mishnah actually, in Maseches Paro, Ezoiv, we know that when sprinkling the ashes of the Paro Aduma, then you have to use these grasses called an Ezoiv. But you have to use Ezoiv, whatever that grass would be. V'loi Ezoiv Yavon, but it mustn't be a type of Ezoiv called a Greek Ezoiv. V'loi Ezoiv Kuchlia, not a blue type of Ezoiv. V'loi Ezoiv Midboria, not a desert Ezoiv. V'loi Ezoiv Romia, not a Roman Ezoiv. V'loi Ezoiv Shiesh L'Shem Levi, nor any Ezoiv that has a name by extension. Because since the Torah says Ezoiv, the Torah means Ezoiv and doesn't mean any Ezoiv which is also called Ezoiv something else. So the question is, if the Torah says that you have to eat Morer, how can Morer de'agmo, marsh Morer, how can that be mutter? Omar Abayas, Abay explains, Kol shenishtanish shmoi koidem matan Torah, in the event that before we got the Torah, it already had separate names, there was regular Ezoiv, and these types of Ezoiv, and those types of Ezoiv, or this type of Morer, and that type of Morer, and then Ubasa Torah, and the Torah then comes, Vikpida Alav, and says, use this, and it just says Ezoiv, and doesn't say anywhere Ezoiv something else with an extension. B'yodua, then we can assume, Shiesh lo shem Levi, then we can assume that if it has a name by extension, then the Torah excluded it. V'hani, but in the case of Morer, that lo nishtanu shmayu koidem matan Torah klal. Before matan Torah, before we got the Torah, there was no separation between a regular lettuce and a marsh lettuce. So when the Torah says Morer, it means everything that was called Morer back then, including the marsh Morer. And therefore, Chizda said that even using marsh Morer is not excluded from what it says in the pasuk, and you're allowed to use it. Rava Omar, Rava explained, different to Abaya, Hana Morerisa. Stoma Shmayu. Even this Morer, called Marsh Morer, it's not like those Ezoivs, where it's a type of Ezoiv that has a name by extension. The fact that it says De'agma is not an extension to the name defining a certain type of Morer. No, the name of this Morer is just Morer Stam, just Morer, as any lettuce. V'haidu korulu morerisa de'agma, the only reason that they say it's from the marsh, is mishum de'mishtakach be'agma, it's just to tell us where you can find it. You find it in the marsh, but not that it's a certain type of lettuce, which is different to any other type of lettuce, and therefore, that's how Rava explains that you're allowed to use the morerisa de'agma on Pesach. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Igid b'chad loishmi egid. As we saw before, a single, anything that is one entity, it's one thing, it all grows together, and you then bind it, that's called igud b'chad, it's not called an egid. And that means any time where you have a single object and you bind it, it's not called an igud, it's not called a binding. Sholish, if you have three items, everybody agrees, egid is called egid. Shnayim, if you have two things, two objects, or two things that you are binding together, then is it called Eged? Whenever you need Eged, when you need Agudas Ezoiv, then three grasses, three Ezoivs is enough. Is two Ezoivs enough? So when there's two, Rav Chizda says, Machleikus Rav Yosi v'Rabbonon, it's actually Machleikus Rav Yosi and Rabbonon, and we're going to have to see, is it a Machleikus Rav Yosi v'Rabbonon, and where? Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, In Maseches Poro, Mitzvahs Ezoiv. By the Poro Aduma, they had to use an Ezoiv, an Agudas Ezoiv. They had to use a group of these grasses called Ezoiv. Now, this Ezoiv, it has a root, the twigs, the roots, it's called the Kelach. Then there's, off the Kelach, is a Givoil, which is a stem, the stalk, that is the Givoil. So the Mishnah says that mitzvahs ezoiv, the mitzvah, we'll soon see what the word mitzvah means. Does it mean it's essential, or is it just the preferred way? Mitzvahs ezoiv is shloisho klochim. You should take three of these roots, these twigs, ubohen shloisho givoilim, and on each one of these kelach that you take, there should be at least one givoil, one stem, that totals three stems. That's called the ezoiv, that's what you should take. That's what the Chachomim said. Rabbi Yosi said, Mitzvahs Ezoiv Shloisha Givoilim. And this seems similar to what the Tanakhama is saying, that the mitzvah is to take three givoylim, one on each of three klochim. But Rav Yossi is adding another halacha. V'shiyor of shnaim. If you started with three, and then one of them fell off because you were using it, you were dipping it into the water and sprinkling with it, and whilst you were doing that, then one of them got lost, then as long as there's two left, it suffices. That's the shiraim. The remainder, two is enough. V'gardum of kolshu. And if part of this stalk fell off whilst you are sprinkling with it, as long as there's a little bit left, then it's considered that you have that stalk. So if you've got, for example, the shiur of the two that are left over, or the three, which is the mitzvah lekatchila, if parts of them fell off, but you have on each one of these that you need, you have just a little bit, it's enough. The gardum of, that means the piece that's left after part of it, part of this ezoiv gets broken away, kolshu is even the smallest amount. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. Says the Gemara, kosol kodaitin, at this point we assume, what's the machlekes Tanakhama of Chizda? They both said that one should use three givoylin. It happens to be Rabbi Yossi added on another 2 points, that the shiorim is two, and the gardum of is one. The Gardumov is kolshu, and the Rabbanon didn't make mention of those details. But as far as the mitzvah, how many are you supposed to take? It seems they both said the same thing. Three givoylim, says the Gemara. No, from Rabbi Yossi, mid shiur of shnaim, tchilosoi nami shnaim. If one, because what did Rabbi Yossi say? That if one of the grasses, one of the ezos fall away, it's still okay to continue with two. So it must be that even initially, when Rabbi Yossi said that you should use three, he meant that that's the preferred way of doing it, but it's not essential. What's essential is two. So when he said three givoylim, he meant it's just a mitzvah lekatchila, it's not ma'akev. So what do you see from there? That igud, the minimum, because it says agudas ezoiv. The ezoiv has to be an aguda. So you see there that according to Rabbi Yossi, since even initially that the amount of ezoiv that you have to bind together is two, so you see that the igud is two. And v'haydik toni shloisha, this that Rabbi Yossi said you should use three, the mitzvah is just a preferable way of doing it, but it's not essential. So according to that, Rabbi Yossi holds that igud is with two. Umid Rabbi Yossi shloisha lemitzvah, and since there's three give oilim that Rabbi Yossi says is only lekatchila, it's not ma'akev, l'rabbonon, when the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, when they said shloisha, la'akev, it must be, they meant that you need three, and it's essential to have three, to start with, and which means, according to the Tanakhama, igud is three. So that's how we understood, that's what Rav Chisda understood, that where the two is called an igud, is a machlekes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon. According to the Rabbonon, two is not an igud, according to Rabbi Yossi, two is an igud. But there's an issue with this. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ezoiv, whenever you need to have this ezoiv, this bundle of ezoivs, tchilosei shnaim v'shiorov echod posel. If you start with two, and then one breaks away, and you're left with one posel, that's insufficient. You cannot use that to sprinkle the poraduma. V'einei kosher ad sheyehei tchilosei shleisha v'shiorov shnaim. It's only kosher if you have a minimum of three to start with, and then when one breaks away and two are still left, then that's still sufficient if you started with three. So here you say, see explicitly, it's a brisa which explicitly mentions Rabbi Yossi, and he says that three is ma'akev. So how can you say that according to Rabbi Yossi, since shiur of shtayim, it must be that lekatchila is also shtayim, and therefore igud must be two, not three? It's contrary to what it says in the brisa. Answers the Gemara, epach. So learn the original Mishnah the other way around. Because it wasn't Rabbi Yossi who said explicitly that three is only a mitzvah and is not ma'akev. We assume that to be true from the fact that he said shiur of shtayim, that it's enough to have two left over. We assume that even to start with, two would be left over. But that was obviously not the right explanation in the Mishnah. So say it the other way around. Rabbi Yossi shloisha la'akev. Rabbi Yossi says you must start with three. It's true that if you started with three and then one fell away, it's okay. You must start with three. According to Rabbi Yossi, igud is three, not two. And Rabbonon shloisha la'mitzvah. And then if Rabbi Yossi holds, as we see in the brisa, that 3 is ma'akov, it must be the Chachomim, who obviously arguing with Rabbi Yossi, they hold that 3 is only lekatchila, it's only the preferred way of doing it, but it's not ma'akov. V'hotanya, and proof to this reading in Rabbi Yossi, because we saw in another braisa, Ezoiv tchilosa ishtayim v'shior of echod kosher. In this braisa it says, if you start with 2 and there's 1 left over, it's kosher. Ve'ein epostle, when is it possible? It's only possible when you start with 1 and you have 1 left over. And the Gemara seems to say that it's either start with 1, it's possible, or you're left over with 1, then it's possible, and that doesn't make sense. Shior of Echod possible, if you're left with 1, it's possible. Ha'omrus Shior of Echod kosher. You just said a line earlier that if you're left with 1, it's kosher as long as you started with 2. Elo, the way you have to read it is Elo Eima Achate Tchilosoi Kashior of Echod. What the Braisa means is that if you started off with 2 and you're left with 1, it's kosher. But if you started off with as many as you're allowed to have left over, which means you started with 1, then it's possible. Now this is certainly not the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because in the Braisa we saw before this, Rabbi Yossi said explicitly that you need to have 3, not 2. So it must be his Braisa, like the Chachomim, and indeed that the Chachomim, they hold that to start with 2 is kosher, because they hold Igud is 2. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Marema, Hani as Isuraisa de Surah. These bundles of surah, specific bundles that were unique in the place of surah. They were a bundle of reeds, and they were just, in order to be able to sell them in a fixed amount, in order to know how many there were in a bundle, they would bundle them up. But people wouldn't keep them in the bundles, and when they would want to dry them out, they would undo that, they would unbind the bundle, and therefore masachin bahu, one was allowed to use them for schach, because the whole issue in the Mishnah, as we learned on Daf Yud Beis, was that you have bundles that you might put onto the roof for storage, and then there'll be issues with that if it's going to come to Sukkos. But in the case of these Isuraisa de Surah, when nobody would do that, there's no issue, and therefore you're allowed to put them on the Sukkah for the sake of schach, obviously, even in its bundled form. Afel gav de Ogdon, even though they're bound, leminyonu ba'almu de Ogdon, they just bind them when they sell them in order to know that there's a specific amount of these reeds inside each bundle, hu de Ogdon, but they would not actually store them that way. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Abba, Hana Tzrifi, these huts, de Urvana, that were made of the willow branches, which was a type of a hut, which there was the branches, they were put like a cone, an upside down cone, which had a point at the top, and they were all tied at the top, and at the bottom they were spread out, and when it was spread out, then you could actually go in, there would be an opening there, you could go in under them and be sheltered by this hut, and they would be tied at the top, all the branches, willow branches would be tied at the top, and at the bottom also there would be intertwined some type of a rope that would be holding everything in place. Kivan shehutzra roshei ma'adanim shalohem, as soon as the upper knots were untied, ksheirim, you're allowed to, it's kosher to put it onto the schach that way. V'ho agidi mitatoi, asks the Gemara, but they're still bound at the bottom. Omer of Papa, the Shari Lur of Papa says that we're talking about that you undid the tie at the bottom as well, and that way there was no, this is not considered a bundle at all, and therefore it's okay. And Rashi explains that they would just undo the beginning of the string, the beginning of the rope, which was wound round the base of these branches, but you don't need to actually undo the whole string, because once you've let loose the beginning of it, if you were to lift it up that way, then the whole thing would come to pieces. There's no issue. This is not considered a bundle. Rav Huna b'Reid Yeshua Omar, afilu teima d'loy sharilu. Rav Huna says that even though you don't untie the rope holding the bottom of these branches near the ground, kol eged she'enoy osui letaltu l'loy shmei eged, that it's only considered an eged, a bundle, if it's bound in order to be able to carry it that way. Here, you can't carry this hut any place, because if you're going to carry it, then it's just going to fall to pieces. And therefore, even if it's got some string attached at the bottoms, it's still it's not considered eged, and one is allowed to then put this whole thing on top of the schach as schach. Continues the Gemara, and we've already learned that schach has to be only from something which is not ro'i lekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, Omer Reb Abba Omer Shmuel, Yerokis Shomru Chachomim, those vegetables that the Chachomim said, Odom Yetze Bem Yedei Chivosi BePesach, that you're allowed to use them for Moroir on Pesach, Mevi'in Es HaTuma. Then if they, in the event that they have very, that they're wide and they cover a Tefach, then as with any roofing on top of a corpse or part of a corpse, that anything under, anything sharing the same roof, then the roof actually transmits the tumah from one place to the next, and everything under this roof is tummy. And so if there is at least a tefach by tefach of this roofing, which is made by, with these vegetables, then they are mevienes tumah min ha-toira, because it's considered a roofing. Ve'ein choytzin mifnei ha-toma. Normally the halacha is that anything which is mevi'es ha-toma, anything which is considered a roofing to the extent that it can bring toma from one place to the next underneath this roofing, this roof is also considered such that the toma will not penetrate through the roofing and make something on top of the corpse tomei. If there's a corpse underneath this roof and there's utensils on top of the roof, they will stay tohir, because since it's called considered an oil, it's considered a covering, the tumah will not penetrate. It's only in the event that, for whatever reason, this roofing does not considered an oil, and therefore it's not even going to transmit tumah from place to place underneath it, only then the tumah will penetrate and go straight up to the sky through it. Here we have an interesting scenario where min ha-toira it's considered a roof. However, min d'rabbonon, we don't say that the roof stops the tumah penetrating, and midrabonon we say that anything on top of these, the leaves of these vegetables, is also tummy. Upoislin besukah, mishum avir. And normally we know that schach posel passels only, we're going to learn about it later in the Masechta, it's only posel if there's four tfachim of schach posel, and if it's near the edge of the wall, if it's near the wall, then it's four amos because of a concept of Dofen Akuma that we've already learnt about. However, avir, airspace, is posel not with four tfachim, but just with three tfachim, it's already posel. If it's less than three tfachim, it's not posel because of lavud. So these leaves, even though they are dense and they are schach posel, because these vegetables, any food items, are ro'i lekabel tuma, it's posel schach. But these vegetables here that we're talking about, or the leaves of these vegetables, even though they are schach posel, and therefore we would have thought that it should only passel if it's four tvachim, but if there's only three tvachim of these leaves, it would not make the sukkah passel. Nonetheless, upoislin basukkah, mishum avir. It passels the sukkah when it's just three tvachim of them in the same halacha as it would be, as if it would be air. Now, how do we understand all these halachas? Min ha-toira, this is called a solid roofing. It should be schach passel. Min ha-toira, it should not allow the tumah to penetrate through it and up. My tama. Says the Gemara, kiven dechiyovshi, since when these leaves dry, parchi, they crumble, vanofli, and they fall, command the listener domi. Then on the one hand, all the while that they're not dry, min ha-toira, of course, it's going to transmit tumah from one place to the next underneath it. But since when they dry, they're just going to crumble and fall away, therefore we have to, midrabonon, we view it as if it's not there. And therefore, the tumah will penetrate straight through it as if it was just air there. If there's air, then the tumah goes straight up. The sukkah also. It's true that, technically speaking, all the while the leaves are there, it should passel with four tfachim, the halacha of tzchach passel. But since we know that it's going to crumble and fall away, we already, right from the start, say just three tfachim of it is already passels the sukkah. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rebbe Abba Omer Rev Huna. Haboitzer, if somebody harvests his grapes, legas, for the wine press, ein loy yodois. Then there's no halach of yodois. Normally, the only part of a fruit which is tomei is the edible part. The branches and the rest of the tree is not tomei, it's not edible. However, a handle, anything you need to serve you, to serve the fruit, is considered yodois, is the handle of the fruit, and is also mekabel tuma. The question is, what's going to be when you have handles that you don't really need? if you have a fruit or food item that you want to eat it, and you need to hold it on the on this, what we call the handle, the yod, it's a little bit of the branch. How much of the branch is Mishnah? It's in other places in Shas, but it, however much it is, if a little bit of the branch is considered a handle for the fruit, then it's got the halachas of tumah. But what happens when I don't need the handles? I don't want to eat it. I've actually harvested these grapes in order to take them to the wine press. I don't want these twigs there. I don't want the extra branches there. I don't want the yodis there. Does it have a halacha of yodis? Says Rav Abba, says Rav Huna, in lo yodis, it does not have the halachas of yodis. That was the halacha of Rav Abba in the name of Rav Huna. Rav Menashe bar Gada Omer Rav Huna, another halacha that was said in the name of Rav Huna, this time by Rav Menashe. He says, speaks about the yodis, not in the context of tumah regarding the grapes in the wine press, rather, hakoitzer l'schach, if somebody cuts grains to be used for schach, ein lo yodis. There also, the yodis, it does not have the status of yodis, and normally it's just the kernels of the wheat, the barley, whatever he's cut down, it's the kernels itself, which are the food item, is tomei. The rest of it, the stalk, would be considered a yad. It's a handle, and it would be tomei. However, in the case of the sukkah, over there, we actually don't want the food part of it. We'd rather the food part wasn't there at all, because the food part is actually considered pasul schach, and we don't want to eat it. We just want the stalk, the part which doesn't have any food attached to it. And since I don't want the stalk to be attached to the fruit, therefore it does not have the status of yodois, and it's kosher, it's considered kosher schach. And now the Gemara is going to tell us that even though both in the case of the koitzer, cutting down the grains, and the case of the boitzer, the harvesting the grapes, in both cases we don't need the handles attached to the fruit, to the food item. However, Rabbi Abba said his halacha by the grapes. Rabbi Menashe said his halacha by the schach. Well, it's not about the schach, it's that he said it regarding the grains that were going to be used for the schach, or the stalks of the grains that would be used for the schach. Now, there is a little bit of a difference, the Gemara is about to say, between the two. And that is that a person, however much he doesn't need and possibly doesn't want the food to be attached to the stalks when he's cutting it for the schach, but when it comes to the wine press, there the extra branches are, he wants it even less, because those branches are going to absorb some of the wine. He really doesn't want that. So there's more reason to say that there's no yodois by the grapes, the harvesting of the grapes for the wine press, than to say that when you cut down the grains for the schach, that there's no yodois. And therefore the Gemara says, Manda Amar Kaitzer, Rav Menashe, who says that even when you're cutting down the grains for the schach, that it's not got a din of yodois, kol shekein boitzer, then even more so, of course he'll agree to what Rabbi Abba said, that if you're harvesting the grains for the wine press, that there's no yodois. Deloi nichale, he doesn't want these extra pieces of twigs and wood attached to the grapes. Deloi nimtzaya lechamreis, they shouldn't absorb any of the wine. However, mando amar boitzer, Rabbi Abba, who says that in the case of the harvesting of the grapes, there's no yodois, it could be, shein la yodois, it could be just there, because he really doesn't want it there, in order they shouldn't absorb the wine, avul koitzer. But he maybe, Rav Abba will hold, that in the case of cutting the grains for the schach, maybe yesh la yodois, it does have a din of yodois, and therefore it will be considered schach posel. De nichale de lesakich bohu, because over there he wants the food part a little bit, even though he doesn't need the food item there, and it's actually schach posel, but there is some advantage of having these grains there, because it acts as a weight to stop the stalks from blowing away and scattering. And since he wants it a little bit more, he's got more advantage of the connection between the food part and the stalk part, the yodos, there's more desire for that in the case of koitzer, for schach, than for the boitzer legas. And therefore it could be that only boitzer legas will be ein lo yodis, but koitzer leschach will have yodis. Says the Gemara, Neima de Rav Menashe bar Gada tanoihi. Could it be that this halacha that Rav Menashe bar Gada said, that when you cut down the grains for schach, that the stalks itself are not considered yodos, they're not considered handles to the grains part, to the kernel part, and therefore it's kosher schach. Could it be it's a machlekes tanoim? To Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, soichei ta'enim, the branches of the fig tree, Ubahem ta'enim, and there's actually figs attached to those branches. Parachilin, or the vines. Ubahem anovim, and there's actually grapes hanging on the vines. Kashin, straw. Ubahem shibolim, and there's ears of grain attached to the straw. Mechabdois, the brooms of the palms. Ubahem tamorim, and there's dates on them. Kulon, in all these cases. Impsoilas mruba ala oichlin, ksheira. Ve'imlav, psula. If the waste part, if the part you don't want, is more than the food part, then it's kosher, because the food part is considered kosher, apostle tzchach. The rest of it is considered psoiles, the waste part, and the waste part is kosher tzchach. So if there's more kosher tzchach than apostle tzchach, then it's the sukkah's kosher. Ve'imlav, psula, and if not, it will be apostle. That's the Tanakama. Acherim oimrim, others argue and say, Archiu kashin merubin ala yodis v'ala ichlin. It has to be that the straw, for example, has to be not only more than the kernels, it has to be more than the kernels and the yodis. Whichever distance of stalk is considered yodis, as we said, discussed elsewhere in Mishnayos and Shas, exactly how much is considered a yad. But not only do you have to be mevatel the oichel, you also have to be mevatel the yodis, because the yodis have the same status as the fruits. So what do we see from here? We're talking here about cutting down the Koitzer leschach, and he says that the Tanakama say that you need to be mevatel just the food part, and Acherim say you have to be mevatel the yodis. So according to Acherim, there's a concept of yodis even by koitzer leschach. So it seems to be a machloikas tanoim. My love, but how come if look, can we not assume that this is what they're arguing about? Tomorrow, Sovar, Acherim say yesh lehem yodis, that they do have the status of yodis. Umarasov and the Tanakama hold, ain lem yodis, they do not have the status of yodis. And then what, so it turns out that what Rav Menashe Bar Agada said was actually machlekes tanoim. Says the Gemara note, le Rabbi Abba, according to Rabbi Abba, what did we say before? That Rabbi Abba only says that by boitzer legas, when you have the harvest of the grapes for the wine press, only there's no yodis. But koitzer leschach, there is yodis. So that opinion, according to Rabbi Abba, is definitely arguing with the Tanakama, who speaks here about, who says explicitly that there's no yodis. Rabbi Abba vaday tanoihi. Rabbi Nashia bar Gada, according to Rabbi Nashia, who says that by koitzer leschach there's no din yodis, milema tanoi, it could be that both of these tanoim can follow Rabbi Nashia. How can that be? Rabbi Nashia will explain to you as follows. The Kule Alma Sovra, everybody agrees, HaKoitzer L'Schach Ein Lo Yodis. That's what Rabbi Nashia said. V'hocha B'mayoskinon, what are they arguing about in this Mishnah? K'goyin She'kotzotzon L'Achila. When you didn't cut them down in order to use them for Schach, and then you don't really have a need for the handles, and there Rabbi Nashia says there's no din of Yodis. And the Yodis are called Schach Kosher. What happens when you actually cut them down in order to eat them? To eat them, you need the yodis. Everybody agrees if you cut them down to eat them, it has a status of yodis. It's got the status of the fruit, and it's mekabel tumah. After you cut them down with the intentions of eating them, you decided not to eat them, you decided to use them for schach. There we can understand, there's a machlekes. According to the Tanakama, there's no din of yodis, because on the schach, for schach, there's no din yodis. Acherim will say no. It's true that had you cut it down initially for schach, it wouldn't have yodis. But if you cut it down for the intentions of eating it, it does have yodis, and it does not lose its status just because you changed your mind and decided to use it for schach. Says the Gemara, I koitetzon l'achila, if indeed you cut it down with the intentions of eating it, maitamayu de rabbonon. How do you explain the rabbonon in the Mishnah there, who says that there's no din yodis? The way we just now explained the Brisa, that if you cut it down in order to eat it, and then you chose to use it for schach, according to Tanakama, there's no yodis. Why not? When you cut it down, it had the status of yodis. V'chitem, are you going to suggest that kosov rabbon on the Tanakama hold kiven the nimla chalem, since you changed your mind, the sikuch, and now you want to use it for schach, bot lo leimachshavtoi, then his original thought is totally negated, and it's as if he didn't cut it down initially to eat. It's as if he cut it down for schach. Umibot lo leimachshava b'hochi. Can you actually negate an original thought this way just by changing your mind? Votnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah? In Mishnah in Kelim, kol ha-kelim yoredim lidei tumah b'machshava. All kelim utensils, they receive the status of utensils and then are susceptible to becoming tumah, b'machshava, with thoughts. And that because there's different, for example, take a piece of hide. It depends what you're going to do with it. You're going to use to make shoes with it, then it's only going to be considered a kli, a utensil, when it's a shoe. If you're not going to make shoes with it, you're going to use it for something else, then it could be that it will be considered a utensil, a kli, even much earlier in the process. So there it says in the Mishnah, kol hakelim yeridim l'dei tuma b'machshava. What determines whether this is considered a kli or not is what your initial thoughts and intentions were. Vein oilin mitumoson, but once they've become a kli, they can only lose the status of kli, elo b'shinui maisa. If you chose then to take this piece of hide, and afterwards you're going to choose to make it into shoes, something you didn't intend initially, it's not good enough just to think, oh, I'm going to make it into shoes, and it's not yet a shoe, it's now can no longer become tummy. No, you actually have to start doing something to undo the initial intention, and then it will lose its status of kli until it becomes a shoe. So you see clearly that maisa, moitzi miyad maisa, umiyad machshava. In order to negate either an action or a thought that determined that something was a kli, you need a maisa, you need an action, an act. You can't do it just with the thoughts. Machshava einu moitzi lo miyadei maisa lo miyad machshava. But a thought cannot negate an initial thought or an initial act. So how can you say that the Chachomim say that since you cut and down these whatever you're using for schach, you intended to use it for food, and then you changed your mind and you want to use it for schach, therefore the yodos, the handles, lose their status of oichel, lose their status of being able to become tumah. You can't do that. A change of intention cannot remove the susceptibility of something to become tummy. That's the question of the Gemara. V'chi teima, are you going to say, hanemili bekelim, only regarding kelim, in that case, because they're talking about very serious and very official type of intention, and to make something into a kli, we say no. For that, you need to have a maisa. You can't just intend, change your mind, and then it will change its status of whether it is or isn't a kli. To chashivi, because kelim are very significant. Aval yodos, but in the case of, is this considered a handle or not a handle, which is the letzarech achilanin, it's not so significant. It's just, you know, if I want to eat it, I need to have a little bit of the wood to hold it while I'm eating it. So maybe over there, b'machshava nase, or b'machshava solka. It could be that it can become roi lekabel tumah with an intention, when you cut it down with intentions to eat them. And then b'machshava solka, then in the same way as it became susceptible to becoming tumah, had the status of oichel, with a thought, with an intention, you can undo that with an intention. And that's what the Chachomim are saying. If you then change your mind to use whatever you cut down, to use it for schach, they lose their status of yodos. Could that be? V'atnan, this seems to contradict the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah in Uktzin, kol yodos ha'oichlin, all these handles of foods, which have the same halacha as the food that they are mekabel tumah, shebosason, that they got broken up, Begoyren, on the thrashing floor, tohiros, then they are toyer. Rabbi Yosi mitame. And now the question is that when it says here in the Mishnah that if it was bosason, if it was broken up, in that case, according to the Chachomim in the Mishnah, then tohiros, then the yodos themselves no longer have the status of yodos, what does that mean? So there's two explanations. Either the explanation is that it was actually a whole ream, it was a bundle of crops, of wheat, of barley, and when they would be bosses on, when they'll break it up, all that means is they would undo the bundles. They would now just have all the stalks were all loose, and then the stalks are still attached to the kernels. However, then since the main purpose of the stalks for the kernels is in order to bind them together, and now you've unbound this, you've been bosses on, you've unbound them all, you've just broken it up, and now they're no longer in a bound state, that's not really called a maisa. You haven't done anything to these yodos, you haven't done anything to the stalks themselves at all. All you've done is, you've done something which shows that what you intend to do is you no longer intend to bind them, and therefore you no longer need the stalks to be attached to the kernels, to the ears of grain, and then it's like just changing your intention. So Bishleim Ulamanda Omar Bosason, is Hitir Agudon, according to the opinion that says that the Tanakama who say that Kol Yodis Ha'ichlin Shebosason, Begoiron is Tahirais, is just undoing the bundle, then Shapir, then we can understand the Chachomim. Because this is not considered as more than an expression of a thought, of an intention. It's not called doing a Maisa, doing an act. And then we see that it's enough, it suffices to change your mind. You change your mind, it then loses the status of Yodis, which, and that's exactly what we saw according to the Tanakama of the Braisa. Elo lemanda omar mai bosason. But according to the opinion who understands bosason means bosason mamash, it means that you actually thrash onto the stalks, breaking them up. Once you've done that, then you've done a real act on this produce, on these stalks, to show that you no longer want the Yodis. And once it's a Maisa Mamash, you see that you need an act, not just a thought, in order to undo the status of Yodos. Ma'ikel Meimar, how are you going to explain the Tanakama here that say that Soichei Te'enim, etc., the Braisa we learned on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that how are they going to understand that just changing their minds and using it, intending to use it for Schach and not for food, it already undoes the status of Yodos from the handles. Answers the Gemara, Hochanami Shebosason Mamush. Maybe over here also, in the case of the Soichei Te'enim, we're talking about that he crushed them. He didn't just change his mind and say, I'm not using it for food, I'm using it for schach. No, he actually did. He crumbled them all up, and then he did an act onto these food items to display that he doesn't want the stalks attached to the food, and then the stalks lose their status of yodis. That's very well understood. You did a maisa. Ihoch asks the Gemara, mai tamayu dachirim. If you did a maisa there in order to undo their status of yodis, why do achirim in the braisa there say that you need to have that the kashin, that the stalk part is more than the peiros and the yodis? There's no more yodis. Everybody agrees that if you do a maisa to undo an initial thought, that they lose their status of yodis. Answers the Gemara, de omor k'Rabbi Yosi. They hold, achirim will hold like Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah we just learned here. Titnan Rabbi Yosi metame. Rabbi Yosi says that even if it was bosason, even if you broke it up mamash, it does not lose its status of yodis, and therefore it will be possible for schach. And in order to use it for schach, you have to have that the pseiles part has to be more than not only the oichel part, but also the yodis part. And now the Gemara is saying, hi, mai. Let's try and understand this. Bishlei mahosom, we can understand in the case of kol yodis ha'ichlin shebosason begoiron, you're on the threshing floor and you've started crushing them. Obviously, you haven't totally separated the kernels from the straw, from the stalks, but you've weakened them. Then I can understand that Rabbi Yosi will say that even though you've been bosason, you've crumbled and crushed them a bit, it's still got a status of yodis. The reason Rabbi Yosi says it still retains its status of yodois is because chazia, because it's still the fact that the kernels are still attached to the stalks, there's some use for that. It's still suitable to be used as yodois. Why? Like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, Dom Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Hoyel Ru'uya is lehafchon ba'atar. And you're on the threshing floor, you want to be able to turn over all the produce and all the wheat and everything on the floor there, and you want to turn it over with a pitchfork and an atar, and if the stalks are not attached to the kernels, it's going to be that more difficult and complicated to churn them all over. So Rabbi Yosi says, since there's still some use of the kernels being attached to the stalks, it still retains its status of yodis and has the status of oichel and can become tomei. Ever elohocha lemai chazi, but in the case of the sukkah, where let's assume, as we just explained, that you actually crushed them a little bit and now they've semi-detached the kernel, the fruit part, from the yodis, from the stalk part, what use would there be? Why over there would anybody say that it's still got a status of yodis? Answers the Gemara, even there by the sukkah, there's still some use. Chazia lechisosar, because when you dismantle the sukkah, leminkat lehu begilayu, you'll want to remove the schach, then you'll be able to use the handles, the stalk, so to speak, to be able to remove all the schach. It's just going to be that bit easier to do that. And since you still got some use of it, even though this use in and of its own right wouldn't be enough to give it the status of yodois, but once it has the status of yodois, all the while it's still got this use, it does not lose its status of yodois. That was the opinion of Achirim in the Braisa before. Continues the Gemara, Gufa, kol yodois ha'ichlin, and this is now referring back to the Mishnah we mentioned before, the Mishnah in Uktzin, and there's a discussion here, why do you use the term Gufa? Gufa is not normally used when you're quoting a Mishnah. Rashi asked this question to his Rebbes, and his Rebbes answered, and Rashi gives an explanation. Kol yodois ha'ichlin, the handles of the foods, shebosason, that were crushed, begoiron, toiris, they are toir, they no longer have the status of yodois. Rabbi Yossi Matami, Rabbi Yossi says they are Tomei. My bossason, we saw this a few lines ago. What does it mean, bossason? Rabbi Yechanan Omar bossason mamash. Rabbi Yechanan says it means they were properly crushed and the connection between the kernels and the stalks were loosened. Rabbi Loza Oimer, Hitir Ogdon. Rabbi Loza says it was much less. Rabbi Loza says it was just that it was initially, it was a whole ream of tvuah. And now he's just undone that, and it's now not a big bundle, it's just stalks. But you haven't actually done anything to the stalks themselves, and therefore, and that's what bossason means, according to Rebbe Lazar. And then the Gemara now says, Bishleim el Rebbe Lazar, do'amar bossason, hiter ogdon, according to Rebbe Lazar, that bossason means that you just untied the knot that was binding all the tvua together. Hainu demetami Rabbi Yosi, then I can understand why Rabbi Yosi would say it's tomei. It still has the status of yodos because you haven't done anything with the actual stalks to make them lose their status of yodos. Elo Rabbi Yechanan to Amar Basasan Mamash, according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that you actually crushed the stalks themselves. Amai metami Rabbi Yosi, why does Rabbi Yosi say that the stalks still have a status of yodos? Have you not undone the status of yodos by virtue of the fact that you've started crushing them? Om Rav Shimon ben Lakish, this is what we saw before. Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, Hoyel ru'uyos lehofchon ba'atar. Since it's just the start of the threshing, it's not, he hasn't really separated the kernels from the rest, and therefore it's still the fact that the kernels are still attached to the stalks has some use in order to be able to churn over the tvua on the threshing floor with a pitchfork, and therefore it still retains its status of yodos. Continues the Gemara, and by the way, point Omer Belozo, Lomo Nimshelot Tfiloson Shel Tzadikim Ka'atar. Why do we find that the tfilos of a tzadik are compared to a pitchfork? Like it says in the Pasuk, Vayetar Loi, Vayitzok Avinu, it seems that he was davening, and the term used for tfila is Vayetar. What makes tfila similar to a pitchfork? Loi Malachot, to teach us, Ma'atar Zeh, like this pitchfork, Ma'apiches Atvor, it turns the grains, Begoiron on the threshing floor, Mimokim Lemokim from place to place, Av Tfiloson Shel Tzadikim, so to the tfilis of Tzadikim, Ma'apiches Daitoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can turn over the way that Hashem is relating to us, Mimidas Achzorius, from a more judging way, Limidas Rachmonius, to a more merciful way, and that is what the Tfilis of Tzadikim do. It turns over the way Hashem deals with us, similar to a pitchfork that turns over the Tvua on the threshing floor. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.